Welcome back, everyone. We're going to be having a look at an important subject right now, and it's often the missing link in health. I get people say to me, Barbara, but I drink all my water, I exercise every day, I'm eating a plant-based diet, you know, I have fresh air when I sleep, I'm not taking any stimulants, but every month when I get my period, I have terrible pain. So that tells me there's a problem with the hormones. So what I'm going to begin with now is I'm going to take you through some of the symptoms of a hormonal imbalance. And Proverbs 11 verse 1 says that a just weight is not good, but a false balance is not good, but God delights in the right balance. And oh, don't we, when the body is balancing right. That's Proverbs 11 verse 1. And our body runs according to precision balance. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to have a look at what it's like when the hormones are out of balance. Then we're going to have a look at how it should run. Then we're going to have a look at what throws it out, because the curse causer shall not come. Something has come in to throw that balance out. And then the last thing we're going to look at is how to bring the balance back, because that's what the body desires. And the body's designed to heal itself, so all we have to do is work with those processes. So here are some of the symptoms of a hormonal imbalance in a female. Very early periods, normally 16 to 18, but most people have never heard of that today. We're getting girls starting to menstruate at 9 or 10. See, there's something amiss there. Heavy periods, very painful periods, premenstrual tension, stress and anxiety at that time of the month. Endometriosis, too much of the lining of the uterus is wandering. And when a woman has endometriosis, she has terrible pain the week that her periods, that she has her periods. And I'll show you why that is. Fibroids in the uterus, cysts on the ovaries, polycystic ovarian syndrome, cervical cancer, uterine cancer, breast cancer, thyroid problems, depression. These are some of the symptoms of a hormonal imbalance in a female. What about a male? What are the symptoms of a hormonal imbalance in a male? It can be low sperm count. It can be inability to hold an erection. It can be prostate problems. It can be too much of the female hormone causing a man to be effeminate. Too much of the male hormone in a female can cause her to be masculine. So what I'm going to do right now is show you how the cycle should run. But let me introduce you, first of all, to the hormones that are responsible. Notice what our sex hormones are made from. Cholesterol. Dr. Malcolm Kendrick, in his book, The Great Cholesterol Con, this is what he said. For the first time, normal levels of a normal vital body substance is being called a disease. You can see why I memorized it. Well said. If we don't have enough cholesterol, it's going to disrupt our hormones. Our hormones cannot be made properly. From cholesterol, the body makes pregnenolone. And from pregnenolone, the body makes progesterone. Progesterone is a key hormone. And from progesterone, estrogen's made. From progesterone, testosterone is made. From progesterone, adrenal hormones are made. That explains why I call it a key hormone. Progesterone is the precursor for the other hormones. Let me explain the monthly cycle. I'm going to explain it like a dance, because different players come onto the stage at different times of the month, or we'll call it of the dance. So the first hormone I want to introduce you to is progesterone. And progesterone is going to be wearing a green outfit. And progesterone's, one of its roles is that of a happy hormone. And I was reading in Ellen White's that said that the home should be a very happy place. There should be laughter and lightness. Isn't that a wonderful place to raise children? But there are some homes where it's not a happy home, And it can be because especially the lady is not in a happy state. And it could be because she's lacking progesterone. And we'll look at why that would be so. The other player in the cycle, in the dance, is estrogen. And estrogen's main role in the body is that of a cell proliferator. So cell proliferator means causes massive cell growth, and it's the skinny young girl growing into a beautiful, shapely woman that is what estrogen responsible for. But if estrogen levels remain high, the beautiful, shapely woman can get out of shape the other way. I liken estrogen to fire and water, good slave, bad master. And there are several proverbs that talk about the dilemma of when the slave girl becomes the mistress, is that right? Mm-hmm. Not a good spot. It's very important, as is fire and water. But when it's out of control, it causes many problems, as you will see. So let us begin by looking at the monthly cycle. It's a 28-day cycle, or should be, and day one is the day that a woman begins to menstruate. And day one, progesterone levels are low. So you could say progesterone's backstage, so to speak. Day one of the monthly cycle, estrogen is also low. But by day seven, it's beginning to rise up until day 14. At day 14, estrogen becomes the star player in the dance of the hormones. Let's go to the stage where the dance is played out, which is the reproductive organs of a woman's body. This is the uterus, they're the fallopian tubes, they're the ovaries, that's the cervix, this is the birth canal. So at this time of the month, with the rise in estrogen as a cell proliferator, estrogen is causing massive cell growth in the lining of the uterus, causing the blood nest to develop. Now, if estrogen levels are too high at this time of the month, too much of the endometrium is developed and it starts to wander all through the abdominal wall. There's your endometriosis. At this time of the month, with the rise in estrogen, eggs are being stimulated to fully develop. At this time of the month, under the action of estrogen, a form of lubricant is released in the birth canal. By day 14, it may be 15, a fully developed egg bursts forth from the ovaries, and the little filaments on the end of the fallopian tube pull that egg up, and the egg is moving up, up, up. So the fallopian tubes are ever moving like this, causing the movement of that egg. Now the hole where the egg bursts forth develops a blister, and that blister is called the corpus luteum. This little blister is very important because its corpus luteum is the main site of progesterone production in a woman's body. Can you now see the importance of a woman ovulating every month? Because when she ovulates, that's the release of the egg, corpus luteum's made, that maintains progesterone levels, which is maintaining all the other hormones. So what effect does the rise in progesterone have? Progesterone increases a woman's mood at this time of the month to the point of increasing her sexual desire at that time of the month. Progesterone also has a ripening effect on the lining of the uterus. I liken the progesterone to the plasterers and the painters, putting the finishing touches on the uterus. But progesterone has another effect, and that is on the cervix. The cervix is the gateway into the uterus. So the cervix is like a little cushion with a little button in the middle. But let me look at it sideways. Sideways, it basically looks like this. There's the little cushions and there's a little mucus plug in the middle. Under the effect of progesterone, at this time of the month, the mucus plug is released, the lips come up just a touch tighter, and a special form of lubricant is released around the cervix. And this lubricant is designed specifically to facilitate the entry of sperm up into the uterus, as you will see. So you can see the stage is set for the entry of man. Let me give you a few figures here. It is estimated between 2 and 500 million sperm are released with one ejaculation. It's the smallest cell in the human body is the sperm cell. Now, sometimes up to half of that comes straight back out. Now, if the sperm meet this cervix, not easy to gain entry because of the mucus plug and the lack of the special lubricant, but they're so tiny, a few may get through. But if the sperm meet this cervix, this lubricant literally grabs that sperm and shoots it up into the uterus. It's got a long way to go, long way to go. And some of them go down the long way, the wrong road, and they basically die and get taken away. But some go down the right road. Are you starting to see why God made between 2 and 500 million? And then, aha, the sperm find their prize, which is the egg. The covering of the egg looks like this. Little folds. And the sperm has to nudge its nose into one of those folds. It's not easy to gain entry. It nudges and finally it makes its way in, and before it goes in it has to lose its tail. But as soon as it nudges into the egg, those other folds shut tight and a chemical is released that will kill off any other sperm that will try and gain entry. Incredible what science now shows us about the workings of the human body. At every step we can claim Psalm 139 verse 14, I will praise you, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now, if the conception happened, then progesterone soars 200%. So often do we say about a pregnant woman, she's just blossoming. If she's not, what would that indicate? That she's lacking progesterone, and we'll look at why that is so. Progesterone is one hormone, whereas estrogen are three. You've got E1, which is estrone, and that's got strong cell proliferator action. Estradiol is E2, that's strong cell proliferator action. But estriol, E3, is a delicate estrogen, and it's estriol levels that rise in pregnancy. So what happens if conception didn't take place? Then by day 26, you've got the drop of progesterone. Write down. Day 26, you've got the drop in estrogen, which was already starting to drop. And when both of the hormones drop, the blood supply to the uterus is cut. And when the blood supply to the uterus is cut, then the blood nest falls away and we are once again at day one of the monthly cycle. That's how it runs. And that's what it should look like. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like that in many women today. Before I show you what causes a disruption in this cycle, I want to mention sperm for a minute. When sperm enters a woman's body, it's an alien, so her immune system rises to attack. But when sperm goes through the prostate gland of a man, it takes on an immune suppressant property. So when woman's immune system rises to attack, the immune suppressant property of sperm knocks back her immune system and sperm survives. Isn't it a miracle any of us are here? When you consider what has to be in place for the conception of a human being. But I've got some good news. Woman's body has memory. And every time her husband's sperm enters her, her immune system rises to attack and says, oh, it's husband, we'll just stand back. And the sperm goes through. But this is a very important point, because can you imagine how dangerous it is on a woman who has multiple partners? Can you imagine how dangerous it is in the area of anal sex for men and women? It is incredibly dangerous. Now, I'll mention this as adults because it's important to know this, that the birth canal can take a beating. because it's muscular. But the colon cannot. The colon is a fine, delicate wall. So in the area of anal sex, it's incredibly physiologically dangerous. Dangerous for the anus and the colon, dangerous for the immune system, because you've got an immune suppressant property going in an area where it should never be.
Excuse me?
Yes?
When you talk about multiple partners, do you talk at one stage or do you talk about all the years?
I'm talking about many over a period of time. Yeah. So what did God mean for us to have? One partner, that is right. And you can see that God's plan is the best plan. But in Australia today, and I know American movies, I guess everywhere, sex is almost portrayed as a sport. And, you know, a woman and a man will go out and have a drink and then end up in bed together, and the next weekend it'll be another partner. So, you know, I'm also referring to that. So what causes the disruption? Number one, 1957, the first contraceptive pill was introduced to women. But men and women have, are, and will continue to pay a very high price for this so-called sexual freedom. It was introduced because women wanted to be able to have sex without falling pregnant. What is the pill? To understand why it is so dangerous, we need to know what it is. The pharmaceutical companies grow acres and acres of Mexican wild yam. And this wild yam contains a plant chemical called diosgenin. And in a laboratory, diosgenin can be converted to progesterone. It's called progesterone because it has an identical molecular structure that the progesterone that our body makes has. But the pharmaceutical company can't patent that. They can only patent something new. That's why they don't like sodium bicarbonate. They can't patent that. So what they do is they add a few more atoms in one area and come up with a synthetic estrogen. And it was in the late 80s, early 90s, that was acknowledged that straight estrogen was causing so many problems with women. And so they had to start putting some progesterone in the pill to try and reduce the problems that were arising from straight estrogen. The Australian Health Department, and this was 15 years ago, stated that estrogen is a known human carcinogen. Can you see it's causing massive cell growth? Mm-hmm. So they came up, they put add a few more atoms in another area and they came up with a synthetic progesterone. And it's not called progesterone, it's called progestin or progestone. Has that helped? No, because now it blocks the progesterone receptor site, so it really hasn't fixed anything. And many women who are on the pill in their teens, I'm a baby boomer. So my girlfriends and I were all on the pill. Everyone I knew was on the pill. So when's this? This is early 70s. We didn't even think about it. And isn't this what happens? People don't question it. Please question it. Please question everything. We didn't think there was a danger at all. But what's happening to a lot of those women now, they're now going through menopause. They're now, and some women have said, oh, but Barbara, that was 30 years ago. That's right. It was the balance was thrown out 30 years ago and it's still out. How do we know? Because those women are going through menopause and they're having hot flushes. What's hot flushes? Too much estrogen. It's a capillary dilator, causes the blood to rush to the skin. The husband knows it because all the blankets get thrown off in the middle of the night and they get pulled back on again. Weight gain. Weight gain in this area particularly. Can't sleep at night. Depression. Thyroid problems. High estrogen opposes thyroid function. Progesterone boosts bone building cells, osteoporosis. Can you see all of these areas? Elaine Hollingsworth, a health writer in Australia, she's written a book called How to Eliminate the Sickness Industry. She calls it the mass murder of millions of women. The great deceivers behind this. I believe that most doctors do the best they know. I believe most doctors are honest and true to their profession, but I do not believe the pharmaceutical company is. And that's who came up with this. And so we have a woman who's having hot flushes. She's the CEO of a big company. She's giving meetings and then the flushes come. She goes to her doctor. She said, I've got to do something about this. So he puts her on hormone replacement therapy. More synthetic hormones. She is happy because the flushes have stopped. Why have the flushes stopped? Because these synthetic hormones going into the body makes the body thinks it must be pregnant. So instead of putting the energies to the skin, it puts the energies internally. 6 years later, she's got a lump on her breast, breast cancer. The doctor takes her off HRT immediately. Why? Because he knows. And if you say to the doctor, why did you advise it? He says, well, she was suffering and it brought her relief. And that is true. And not every woman will get breast cancer. That's also true. But I don't know about you. But if I was given the choice of flushes or breast cancer, I'd take the flushes. Yeah. And you see, the doctors are only trained that when there's a problem, here's what you give them. Here's what you give your guests. And many women love it because the flushes stopped. But drugs never cure disease. They just change the form and location. The body and the body alone is the effective healer. So it makes the most sense to work with the body systems. But I'm very glad to Dr. John Lee. Dr. John Lee in the 80s, he's the first doctor that blew the whistle on this. His book's called What Your Doctor May Not Tell You about menopause. So what's happening on the pill? And I want to show you what's happening on the pill. So remember, number one hormone should be progesterone. Here's our green. Number two, estrogen. Month after month on the pill, no eggs released. That's what the pill does. There's no egg released because the body thinks it's pregnant. So no eggs released. So no corpus luteum's made. So where's progesterone going? Month after month on the pill with the synthetic estrogen, where's estrogen going? We've got now a big problem. It's called estrogen dominance. Where's estrogen? Up here. A good slave, bad master is a master. Where's progesterone, by the way? Down here. And what does this cause? This is the cause of the fibroids in the uterus. This is the cause of the cysts on the ovaries. This is the cause of the polyps in the uterus. This is the cause of the cervical cancer. It's one of the factors. Women having multiple partners and too much sex, it can certainly weaken that cervix. And when they're breaking every law as well, can you see you've got some factors there? High estrogen causing too much endometrium. There's your endometriosis. And every month, when the levels drop and the uterus bleeds, all of those pockets bleed. That causes excruciating pain because that blood's got nowhere to go. One 25-year-old girl said to me, I've got endometriosis. I went to my doctor. He said, you'll be all right when you go through menopause. What's that, 25 more years of suffering? And what the doctor can do is he can scrape the pockets, and that will bring a little bit of relief, but now we've got scar tissue there. If you don't eliminate the cause, you will never have a cure. High estrogen with its cell proliferator action causing cysts in the breast, causing calcified lumps in the breast, causing breast cancer. Where's the progesterone? Happy hormone's gone. This explains the premenstrual tension. I said to one lady, do you get premenstrual tension? She said, no, I just hate my husband for a week every month. She's got it. Another lady said, I don't know, ask my husband. And he's going, yes. Can you see the problems we've got? A false balance is not good. The whole family knows it. The whole office knows it. There's more. Because there are some people who have never been on the pill. Their mother was never on the pill. And by the way, if a woman's on the pill before she gives birth to her children, the man child and the woman child will both have some hormonal imbalances. So number two, what causes a chicken to be fully developed in 5 weeks? Growth stimulants. Now, it's against the law to give growth stimulants to chickens now. So they've genetically modified the chickens to produce more estrogen. That's why if someone wants to eat eggs and they want their own chooks, I say, do you know, you almost have to go to a 100-year-old man who's got the chooks his father had and his father's had and his father's had. We had a cattle farmer's wife do our program. She said, you know, the pharmaceutical company knock on our door monthly pushing the growth stimulants. And they say, if you stop it at this time, it's not picked up in the blood test. But where is it? It's all through the tissues. Do you know, the Bible says the whole creation groans under the curse of sin. Isn't that true? And Ellen White says the time will come when meat and dairy are not fit for consumption. And I do hope my illustration of Dr. Atkins didn't make you think that I think that meat and dairy are okay. No. No, they are not safe for many reasons. And I really appreciate the China study where Colin Campbell showed very clearly what this does. So if it's in the meat, it's in the product. If it's in the chicken, it's in the egg. So what I really should say there, it's in the product. In fact, one of the worst is chicken. And how many people think the white meat's safer than the red meat? No, 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 no. I've got a book at home by one doctor, and she claims that nearly every cancer can be just about attributed to chicken and what they're doing to chickens today. I don't know about here, but in Australia, you can't even get within about 2 kilometres of a chook farm because of the stench. And they're all in little cages and they don't have any grain and oof. Yeah?
So you're saying if you have your own chickens, it's the same because they are passed on the genes? Or?
Do you know, it can be. That's why you really have to get healthy chooks. Healthy chooks. And if you do like to have chooks and have eggs, then you've got to get the healthy chook and you've got to make sure they're having organic grain and you've got to make sure they're having grains, etc., etc. So if it's in the meat, it's in the products. What about fish? Well, you've got 80% of women on the pill or HRT and the sewage goes out to sea. The fish feed on the sewage. Some fish farmers are finding their fish aren't reproducing anymore, or they're finding male fish with female tendencies, vice versa. But the fish isn't the end of the food chain, is it? The human eats the fish. That's why the message that we have of medical missionaries is showing people the superiority of a plant-based diet. There's more. Plastics. Now, I hope I don't stress you out, especially ladies, if a lot of your clothes that you've brought with you have polyester, nylon, acrylic. You'll be able to buy natural fibre very soon. But this is a contributing factor. Ladies, how hard is it to find a bra made out of cotton? Most bras are made out of nylon. A lady said to me a couple of days ago, my husband said, you got to go out as quickly as possible and buy some cotton bras. And just watch what your underwear is being washed in. because your skin will take in those chemicals. So plastics, the plastic fibers are acrylic, polyester and nylon. They're the three really plastic fibers. Now I have got a very pretty dress at home and it's made out of polyester and I love it. But guess what? It didn't touch me. I've got a silk petticoat on underneath. It's touching the skin. Be careful what you're drinking out of. You need stainless steel or glass, or you can get hard plastic. And hard plastic is free of the phenols. Let me show you what I mean by that. Estrogen, in its molecular structure, has a phenyl ring. That phenyl ring is the key that unlocks the door to get it into the cell. And most plastics today have nonylphenol to soften them, or they have bisphenol A. And bisphenol A is found in a lot of plastic bottles and also lining tins. You know how tin, have you seen when you buy something in a tin, it's got a plastic lining, bisphenol A? But you can get plastic bottles. You've probably seen mine, the hard plastic. It's BPA free. So you can get the hard plastics, which are BPA free. You see, those plastics have the phenyl ring. So when I was a teenager, that was in about the 60s, my brother's 2 years older than me. When he was 18, he got his first car. It was a Zephyr, secondhand. And he just loved his Zephyr. But the dashboard had a big crack in it. Did you notice that dashboards used to crack? Mm-hmm. They don't crack anymore. Oh, my brother had a way out of it. He put turquoise fur and then a cow with its head going up and down. That's very 60s, isn't it? They don't crack anymore. Why? Because of the nonylphenol. That's why if you get a new car, you've got to open those doors and let the sun and the air in. For about a week, you've got to air it out. Yeah?
We don't talk so much about canned foods, but you'd say it's just as bad as plastic bottles.
No, it's not as bad. Now, let me define this. If I'm travelling and I'm thirsty, I'll buy a plastic bottle of water and I'll drink it and then I'll discard it. But remember, it's not the odd day you do it and the odd day you don't. It's what you do every day that has an effect on your body. Now, in the little book Steps to Christ, Ellen White says that's the determining factor in character, character building, absolutely. But I take it into every day. But if you keep that plastic bottle and keep filling it, it'll discard, you know, the phenols will discard more and more. So it's not the odd day you use a tin. Now, I don't use tins at home, very, very rarely. And tinned legumes, I don't use. But we have them at our health centre just in case the dish burns. We're going to produce a meal in 20 minutes because someone forgot to turn the flame down. Well, we've got some tinned legumes that we rinse very well and use them. So you see what I mean? It's not the odd day you do it or the odd day you don't. It's actually, she says, it's your habitual daily tendency. It's what you do every day that determines. If I'm eating out and my meal needs salt, I'll put sodium chloride on it. But that's rare. That's very rare. So remember, it's your habitual daily tendency that really determines your health. So these plastics have the nonylphenols in them. Herbicides and insecticides. Now the worst is the glyphosate, also Roundup, glyphosate. In some countries, it has been banned. It is so dangerous. If you eat potatoes that are not organic, they use glyphosate to kill the tops of the potatoes. So every potato that's not organic will have traces of glyphosate in it. I know Sri Lanka has banned glyphosate because so many of their rice farmers were we're getting it's more the endocrine cancers, so the liver cancers, and even their children were getting sick. In fact, we've always thought that the Roundup was safe. There's even been meetings where they drink it and say, "See, well, I wonder what they'd be like now." Because glyphosate works on the hormones in the plant, so it's going to work on your hormones. Also, chemicals, get the chemicals out of your homes. One of the first thing people do is go home and go into their laundry cupboard, under their kitchen sink, have a really good look at what's in there. Now, you might have heard of xenoestrogens. Xenoestrogens meaning estrogen mimickers. So these are your estrogen mimickers because of especially the plastics with the nonylphenols and the effect that they have on the estrogen receptor sites. So let me show you these estrogen receptor sites. Here's three cells. Here are three estrogen receptor sites. And the first one we're going to have a look is the xeno, which is the ones coming from the plastics, herbicides, insecticides, chemicals. They are 20,000 times stronger than human. So how big are they? They're big. How big's human? It just sits in the cell beautifully like that. But the human estrogen is 20,000 times stronger than the plant. So how big's the plant? It just slips into the very lining, just a tiny little thing. And that's the natural estrogen that you find in a lot of greens, that you'll find in soy, that you'll find in red clover. And you've probably heard, don't eat soy because it's got estrogen in it. Well, it has, but they're very minor. But let's have a look at the soybean grown in America today. It's called Roundup Ready. Why is it called that? Because it's been genetically modified to resist Roundup. And one farmer told me five times before market, the whole field is sprayed. So problem number one, it's genetically modified. Problem number two, it's full of Roundup. That is the soybean that will increase breast cancer, prostate cancer. A friend of mine did a thesis on soybean for her nutrition course, and people ask her, tell us about soybean. And she said, I've got a one-sentence answer. God made it good, man mucked it up. So don't be afraid of eating soy, just make sure it's organic. Now, these xenoestrogens have the strong cell proliferator action, as I just showed you, that you'll find in the estrone and the estradiol. So how can we turn this around? God is so good to give us a body with an inbuilt ability to heal itself that when you give it the right conditions, it responds. Number one, you've got to turn the tap off. Eliminate. Eliminate the pill. Eliminate HRT. Eliminate the meat in its products. Eliminate the plastics, chemicals. So how are we going to manage our births? Sex is two-part. Contraception should be two-part. The woman has a role and the male has a role. What's the woman's role? The woman's role is to know when she's ovulating, and her body will give her three signs. One sign is she takes her temperature every morning and she charts it, and she will find her temperature will do this. It'll drop and go up onto a higher plane, and that's her sign that she's begun to ovulate. And that will usually happen around day 14. My daughter Jessica, she's 40, she said, Mum, look at the app on my phone. It tells me when I'm safe or not safe. You can even get an app on your phone now. And she punches in her temperature every morning. That's one sign. What's another sign? Another sign is the vaginal mucus. So when estrogen's high, the vaginal mucus is not as much and it is white. But when progesterone's high, the vaginal mucus is much more profuse, it's clear and it's stringy. So that's another sign. And the lady can just chart it every day. And her third sign is she tests her cervix. So it's as simple as testing the cervix every day. Now, at first, she's got nothing to compare it to. But as the days and the weeks and the months go by, she starts to see definite changes at this time of the month. So when those three signs come together, it allows the lady to define exactly when she's ovulating, and it usually happens in this week here. So what the lady does, she says to her husband, "I'm safe, I'm not safe, I'm safe." So now, what's the husband's role? The husband's role is at this time of the month, he either wears a condom or he masters the art of withdrawal. And I read an article about the Italian men who prided themselves in mastering the art of withdrawal to prevent their women getting pregnant. And I thought, how nice! Because I know in Australia the woman has to have a tubes tied, or she has to have a marina put in, or she has to go on the pill. You know, that's what. And here is the man takes charge. What about a vasectomy? I would not advise a vasectomy. So when Michael and I married, I was almost 44, he was 40. And he said to me, "Do you want any more children?" I said, "I think we've got enough." I had six, he had two. He said, "I agree." He said, "Should I have a vasectomy?" I said, "There's no need. There's no need." I said, we can do this. And we certainly did, because I was fertile for another 15 years before I stopped menstruating. And yes, we didn't fall pregnant. I didn't fall pregnant again. So this allows a couple to choose when they're going to have babies. My daughter Jess, they chose when they were going to have their three girls. It was very convenient. In fact, they were married for 2 years before little Amethyst appeared. Amethyst is now 15, and the joy, or she's 16, and her joy is to come to Misty Mountain every Christmas holidays and work in the health centre. How nice. So she heard the story of when she was listening to the lecture of her mum and dad. And you know, Amethyst did not develop early. How nice. We can actually change the genes around, because her mum and dad both grew up like this with this diet, and so they gave a better hormone gene pool to their three girls. How nice. So eliminate the pill, eliminate HRT. What you'll hear today will allow a woman to stop the HRT. Eliminate meat and its products. I think that with some of our guests, they're not interested in that. And that's what it's very important to be as medical missionaries. We need to be open to all walks of life. So I say to people that say, "No, I'm not going to stop my meat and dairy," I say, "Well, it must be organic." And one lady said, "Well, I'm not going to eat much if it's going to be organic." And I say, "Well, you're going to learn some delicious meals while you're at our place." So that's what we say. And most people are looking seriously at how they can eliminate all that. So number two, your liver is a powerful organ and has the ability to eliminate excess estrogen. And it'll do it down one of two pathways. The liver will eliminate the estrogen down the hydroxy-2 pathway. So that's the hydroxy-2 pathway. If it sends the estrogen down the hydroxy-2 pathway, it's out of the body. But if it sends it down the hydroxy-16 pathway, it comes back into the body 100 times worse. So what I'm going to show you now is what stimulates this and inhibits this one. And it's various foods can stimulate the hydroxy-2 pathway. And one is the cabbage family. Oh, it was so lovely to talk to my husband and hear that they're just starting to eat the cabbages that I planted before I left. The cabbage family contains indoles, and I did see in the hothouse here that there, has everyone seen through the gardens here? It's very impressive. These cabbages contain indoles, and those indoles stimulate Highway 2 and inhibit Highway 16. And a lady showed me a supplement she had. She said, a naturopath put me on this supplement to help balance my hormones. And I had a look at it, and it had indoles in it. $100 a month it was costing her. And she was so happy to hear that all she has to do is include something from the cabbage family nearly every day. So that's cabbages. That can also include sauerkraut. That sauerkraut's a great food to help maintain your good flora in your gut. And we'll look at that in a little bit more detail when we go on our journey through the gut. Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, bok choy, they're all part of the cabbage family. So they all contain the indoles, which stimulate hydroxy 2 and inhibit hydroxy 16. Vitamin B. And the highest source of our B vitamins is found in our raw nuts and seeds. So it's nice to have a little handful of that every meal. Vitamin B6, B9 and B12 particularly, when we go on our journey through the gut, I'm going to give you the vitamin B12 story, which is very misunderstood. Vitamin B12 is a bacteria. So when you eat an apple off a tree or a strawberry straight off the plant, you're getting B12. I wash them if they've got dirt on them. But if they haven't got dirt on them, I don't wash them. Licorice. Now this is the herb licorice. If someone's got high blood pressure, no licorice, because licorice can pop that blood pressure up a bit. Yes?
So the seeds and nuts, are they superior if they're soaked? Is it better if they're soaked? Many people say that. Soaked in water?
Ah, yes. I don't know if you've ever soaked the nuts and dehydrated them, but they certainly lose that lovely strong flavour. As long as you chew your nuts very well, they're fine. Flaxseed. Ground flaxseed is a great additive to breakfast, but make sure they're ground and eaten within an hour of grinding, because as you'll see when we look at fats, they deteriorate very quickly when they're exposed to the light, heat and oxygen.
It doesn't have to have it in the freezer or the fridge.
If you grind them, you can keep them in the freezer.
But too much, if you eat too much, it's not too good because it contains cyanide, I believe.
Interesting. Does it contain cyanide? Your apple seeds contain cyanide.
Yeah.
Your apricot kernels contain cyanide. And the bitter almonds contain cyanide, and flaxseed a little bit. And when that goes into your body, the enzymes from the pancreas release rhodanase. And when rhodanase gets into a cancer cell, it kills the cancer cell. So you can't have too much. I don't know anyone who eats a cup of that a day, though, you see.
Can you spell rhodanase for me, please?
Rhodanase. See, what rhodanase does in the cell, it disarms the cyanide, but cancer cells don't have rhodanase. So that's how it can kill the cancer cell. But a couple of things there, you've got to be eating them and you've got to have some pancreatic juices left over from digestion. And if a person's eating a highly processed meat diet, there's hardly any pancreas left over from digestion. Yeah?
So are all of these, cabbage, vitamin D, vitamin B, licorice and so on, are they stimulating the liver elimination of estrogen?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So the first point is stop what's disrupting the hormones. The second point is let's get rid of the excess estrogen. And the third one is a cream called the Anna's Wild Yam Cream. And the Anna's Wild Yam Cream is an Australian cream, and this cream contains diosgenin. The number one ingredient is the Mexican wild yam. The number two ingredient is Vitex or chaste tree. When this cream is applied to the skin, the fat cells take up the diosterone and it stimulates this pathway that the body uses to make progesterone. And when you boost progesterone, you automatically bring estrogen under control. If the estrogen's too high, it'll bring it down. If it's too low, it'll bring it up. Same with testosterone and your adrenal hormones. You can order it online. Or if you get together and order a box, you'll get a cost. So how do you apply it? One finger dip, just past the nail bud. I did say a lady the first knuckle, but she thought that was the first knuckle and she went through the whole jar in a month. One jar should last about 3 months. So it's one finger dip and it's applied to the inside of arms one time, chest another time, abdomen another time, inside of thighs another time. You alternate your sites of application. It's applied morning and night for 3 weeks a month. So if a woman's menstruating, she's applying it for the 3 weeks where her progesterone level is highest. If a woman is not menstruating anymore, either because she has lost her uterus or she's finished, you know, she's gone through menopause, then she just chooses 1 week a month where she doesn't apply the cream. One lady said to me, I used this cream and it didn't work. I said, oh, how long did you use it for? She said, 2 months. Well, let me show you what's happening with 2 months. She's got a major hormonal imbalance and her symptoms show that. After 2 months, where are the levels? About here. Where do we want them? We want them here. And so I suggest at least a year to get those hormones back into balance. When I was in the Bronx teaching a few years ago, they brought a 9-year-old girl to me that was menstruating. So I suggested the Anna's Wild Yam Cream for a year to balance her hormones. I met a 92-year-old lady who was on the Anna's Wild Yam Cream for her osteoporosis. You see, progesterone boosts bone-building cells. I've seen many with thyroid problems go on the yam cream. Remember, the high estrogen opposes thyroid function. Get that estrogen down. It can be part of the programs that you advise as you start to put programs together next week for people with various illnesses. Mm-hmm. And you can see why. Yes?
So how should you use Anna's Wild Cream during and due to osteoporosis?
Same.
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 Okay.
So that's the application for a woman. What about a man? A man applies it twice a day, but he doesn't have the 1 week break because men aren't cyclic like women. So why would a man use it? A man would use it for prostate problems. We had a guy do our program who was having a 3-monthly injection to try and get his testosterone levels down. You see, high estrogen in a man can get high testosterone, and that testosterone can convert into a form of testosterone that causes inflammation of the prostate gland. And let me tell you something very interesting. If a man has zinc every day, that zinc inhibits the conversion of testosterone to the dangerous form of testosterone. And what's the highest form of zinc? Pumpkin seeds. Yeah. Thank you, Casper. We all had pumpkin seeds this morning. In fact, one health writer said if every man was having adequate zinc, there would be no such thing as prostate problems. Interesting. And you can see why. So for a man, he would use it for prostate problems. And so this man, I started to tell you the story, he heard this and he was having a 3-monthly injection to get his testosterone levels down. He developed breasts and he was having hot flushes. He heard this and he made a decision. No more hormone injections. He started to use the Anna's Yam Cream. He started to drink more water. He started to go to a plant-based diet. Because one cause of a hormonal problem can be just too much chicken and eggs. You can see that? He started to exercise, started to go to bed early, stopped his daily cup of coffee and his weekend red wine. Can you see that these are the true remedies? They're the true remedies. That's not the true remedy. They're the true remedies. That's your basis. Now, this will certainly help. Remember Psalm 104, verse 14? God gave herbs for the service of man. So the herbs can come in and help, but you must have that foundation. And I think the reasons why, even though I was on the pill for a few years before I gave birth to my baby, I think because I lived the true remedies, I didn't see any hormonal imbalance in my children. They can do it, but they take a lot longer. Whereas most people with a hormonal imbalance, they're wanting help quick. And God gave the herbs for the service of men. So some say, well, what if you eat the wild yam? Well, Dr. John Lee, he says, if you eat it, you lose it, because the liver detoxifies it. He says you can get 400% more of the actives via the skin. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting point to take note of. So this man implemented the lifestyle and started the cream. His wife emailed me 10 months later. She said, I've got good news. She said, the breasts have gone down, the hot flushes have stopped. He's just had a test at the doctor and his testosterone levels are the best they've been for years. Wow. What an amazing body we live in. That's implementing the true remedies and taking the herbs to help shift that balance back. And so the fourth point must always be the true remedies, or the eight laws of health. Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that arise because of a violation of those laws of health. That's why what you basically teach is this. And you teach it in detail so that that information, you win your health guess with that information. One man said, Barbara, everyone tells me to drink water. But he said, you told me why. And now he's drinking water. And why is the man that the trip I was at, he's starting to eat veggies. He said, everyone's told me to eat veggies, but you've told me why. Do you know God made our brain that way? Isn't that true? He made our brain that way. And we're to question. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. We're supposed to be the head, not the tail. The only hope of better things is the education of people in right principles. So I go to churches and teach this, and some of the church members come. Many don't, because they think they know it all. Some of the church members come, and I am teaching the students, but I can see who else I'm teaching is the church members. Mm-hmm. And one church I went to, we gave meetings all week. The people were excited, because this is exciting. I never ever tire of presenting these things, because they're exciting. And they fill the church every night, 80 people every night. And then we said to them, and I'd tell them all week, on Saturday morning, I'm going to show you how to rewire your brain. I'm going to show you how your brain can get smarter and wiser with age, so everyone's interested. And then we say, it will be in our church service time, so there'll be a few hymns. Australia is such an ungodly nation. So this is why we say this. And they're not listening to, you know what they hear? I want to rewire my brain. And so they come in, and you know what the speaker says? He says, come in early. So they come early and they've got the seats, and then all the members that haven't been to the meetings all week, they come in and their church is full. So we have to put them in the hall. And they've never seen so many people in church before.
No.
Isn't that interesting? Why have they come in? Because you've appealed to their intellect. And at the end of the presentation on the mind, a lot of the members are looking at each other and saying, oh, this was interesting. And the meetings are finished. So you go back next year, you double your numbers because a lot of people just tasted of that information. And whose information is this? It's God's. It's God's information. So when the health retreat in Alabama and another health retreat in Denver, they're running our Misty Mountain program now. And you know why? It works. And one of the guests said, did you sell it to them? And I said, no, I just gave it to them. Not mine to sell. Mm-hmm. Freely you have received. So freely you give. Mm-hmm. So there's your foundation. So what we find is this helps a lot of ladies to lose weight. Because a lot of ladies who are having struggle losing weight, that they will never be able to lose it while their estrogen is high. Can you see that? And it helps them sleep better at night. So there's a whole lot of areas that it's helping. We've seen ladies come off their antidepressants and also some men by taking the yam cream, boosting happy hormone, and they're able to ease off their antidepressants. That's one medication that has to be done very slowly. It has to be done very slowly. So can you see there's so many areas, yeah?
Can you be on the wild yam cream for too long?
Not that I know of. Can you have too much happy hormone? There's no toxic dose of progesterone, but there's definitely a toxic dose of estrogen. The only time I've seen on a long time, a lady contacted me and said, I've been on the wild yam cream for 7 years. Is that a problem? And I said, not that I know of. Should I just feel so good on it? But we find most people, 1 year, sometimes 18 months, is usually enough. Yes?
You mentioned a few diseases that can be explained with this. So we have the whys here. Can you mention a few more diseases that can have this as the,
okay,
the cause?
So remember I started with lots of symptoms, premenstrual tension, fibroids in the uterus. Now with fibroids in the uterus and cysts on the ovaries and polycystic ovarian syndrome and endometriosis, absolutely, square one is getting that estrogen down because it's estrogen, and it's important that you explain this to the people. It's feeding the fibroid. It's feeding the cysts. It's feeding the endometriosis because what is it? It's a cell proliferator. And at the same time, apply castor oil compresses to the abdomen. This afternoon we're going to do poultices where I'll explain that. Yes?
If someone is not taking the pill, vegetarian, can plastics cause this?
Absolutely. Yep. So with some people it's a bit of all of those. And I've met some plant-based people, never eaten meat, they've never been on the pill, and they have a major hormonal imbalance. So then you go to the plastics. Then you go to those plastic fibres. They certainly can do it. Now there's one more, and I don't usually mention this, but I'm going to mention it now because you are students. Zearalenone is a mold waste. And zearalenone is commonly in grains. In fact, in most countries, they test grain for levels of zearalenone. And zearalenone has an estrogenic effect. Now, in Australia, they test for zearalenone levels. But there'll never be zero zearalenone. You know how they say they consider this level safe, but this level not? And Australia grows so much wheat, we grow mountains of wheat. and we store it in big silos. And you get a cold, frosty morning and a hot, sunny day. What's happening in the silo? It's a mould waste. It's zearalenone. Now, the reason I'm mentioning it now, it has an estrogenic effect. So people that are eating cereal and toast for breakfast, sandwiches for lunch, pasta for tea and biscuit, cake, mid-morning, mid-afternoon, there's that overload of carbs, but it's overload of one type of grain. What's that? Wheat. It's mostly on wheat. Well, it's the wheat that they test because we grow so much wheat. We grow tons of wheat because Aussies eat so much wheat. You go into the cake shop. What grain is everything made out of? Wheat.
But why wouldn't you mention it before? Is it because it's not as high as the other ones?
Because I'm going a lot deeper with you because you're teachers. And usually I don't mention it because I just don't have time. And I'm so excited about this school because I can go so much further. And when you teach, you'll skim on the top. But I'm teaching you a lot deeper. So can you see that a high carbohydrate, high wheat diet can also be contributing to it? In the 1980s, in Mexico, they were using as a growth stimulant zearalol, which is an anabolic agent made from zearalenone. And what they found was the women were eating the meat in pregnancy, the meat that had been given zearalol as a growth stimulant, and the women were eating it in pregnancy, and their children, little boys' testicles weren't developing properly, their penis wasn't developing properly. All the children started to have these reproductive problems at 5, 8, 5, 6, 7, and they traced it to the zearalol, the anabolic agent that was given to the meat that was made from zearalenone, because zearalenone has an estrogenic effect. So this is another reason why get that wheat down, yeah?
Are there other food with estrogenic effect?
No. Well, the plants, but I showed you the plants, it's very low.
The problem with the reproductive organs of the little boys is due to an imbalance of hormones.
That's right.
Could it be cured in this stage of age?
Do you know, it may be. It may be that I do not know. I've got a book called Mycotoxins. Remember, myco means mold. And this book on mycotoxins, it's mycotoxins and the effect on animal and human health. And I got the story in there from there about the Rice Act that I mentioned yesterday. And I got the story in there that I just told you. So, you know, this book is showing the mycotoxins and the effect on human health. Yeah?
And for those who can take this, whether they are grown the flax seeds, but instead boil them a bit, is it wrong? I am one of those.
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
The flax seed.
The flax seed.
Yeah, you said it's best when we grind them.
That's right.
But there are some people like me who have issues in digesting some types of food, like that becomes hard. So I normally put it in hot water to just soften.
So you can't even eat it if you grind it? Because if you grind it, it's like a fine powder.
It has to be totally, it has to be into powder form.
Yeah, yeah. So fine powder is not hard. So if you eat the whole linseed, the next day you look in the toilet and you'll see the whole linseed.
Exactly.
It has to be ground. And you can't access the...
It has to be powder.
Powder.
Yeah.
So,
that's the grinding.
Because there's grinding, like, and grinding into...
So if a girl gets her periods at a very young age, yes, the yam cream. If she has premenstrual tension, yes, the yam cream. If she has fibroids or any growths, yes, the yam cream. In fact, if a woman has ever been on the pill, she should go on the yam cream, because she may not see many symptoms, but sometimes a woman doesn't see symptoms till she goes through menopause. So, you know, what are the symptoms? How long's a piece of string? You know, it's, it can be varied in every single person. And I have known women to go on it who are developing hair on their chin, different hair in different parts of their body. They say to me, will that stop that hair growth? I say no. Pluck them out. But you can balance the hormones that may not get to the point of stopping the hair growth. We're not in heaven yet. Remember, if you can manage it, you are doing well. I have known men to go on that who don't like the fact that they're effeminate. And so that will help. I've also had, I had a man say to me, I really like this cream, it puts lead in my pencil. So I think you know what I mean by that. It allows him to have erections, which he was unable to have. It might not bring a 50-year-old man back to what he was when he was 20, but it can certainly help. So there are so many areas where it helps. And that's why I wanted to show you what throws the hormones out and how to bring the balance back. And when you understand these hormones, and then you understand why it has such an effect. So what I also find, I'd like to look at the menopausal woman in our last 5 minutes. We're nearly there. Let's look at the menopausal woman. Here are common symptoms of a woman who has a hormonal imbalance. She's having hot flushes. She has weight gain. She's not sleeping properly. She has no desire for sex. The yam cream can help all that, absolutely. But another problem that she's finding very difficult is sex is painful. The lubricant is not made anymore, and the cells that line her vagina are incredibly tender. So what can be done for that woman? There's something that's becoming popular. It's called yoni stones. And yoni stones are made out of nephrite jade, they're like a green marble, and they were developed in the Chinese dynasty to help the young concubines be sexually toned for the emperor. So why are they helping women today? Well, let me tell you why. So let me draw the stones up here. So this is the largest stone, and they look like an egg. Here is the second largest stone, that's say the middle-sized stone, and this is the smallest stone. And they have two little holes in the bottom where a bit of dental floss can be exerted for easy extraction. So what a woman does is she takes the largest stone and she inserts it until it touches her cervix. She won't even know it is there. And she wears that for 1 hour a day for the first week. 2 hours a day, week two. 3 hours a day, week three, 4 hours a day, week four, 5 hours a day by the fifth week. And then she continues wearing the stone 5 hours a day for, say, 6 months. By then, her pelvic girdle is strong. And she can go over to the middle-sized stone. And she might wear that 5 hours a day for 6 months and then go to the smaller stone. So let me draw the pelvic girdle and show you why this is so important and why it is helping women. So the pelvic girdle, when stretched out, so let's stretch out the pelvic girdle, and this is the belly button and this is the coccyx. So this is the urethra, this is the vagina, this is the anus. And this pelvic girdle is a muscular system. It's just all muscle. But around these areas here, the muscles are like this. So it's all muscle. And so when a woman is holding that stone, the muscles are holding it. And the muscles are like any muscle. When you start working them out, you increase the blood supply there. And when you increase the blood supply there, that blood supply, remember the life of the flesh? When you've got the increase in blood supply, you've got to that area an increase in oxygen, an increase in nutrition, an increase in water, an increase in waste coming away. And that blood supply feeds the glands that supply the lubricant, feed the cells that line the vagina. And after 3 months, women are saying to me, thank you so much, Barbara. Sex is no longer painful. The cells that line my vagina are no longer ultra sensitive and the lubricants returned. Can you see why they're becoming popular? Now, one lady who was 70 heard about this and she bought the Yoni stones. And she said to me, I put the largest stone in and it fell straight out. Now, what does that tell you? She has no muscle tone at all. She said, what will I do? I said, rebound. Get on the rebounder. 3 minutes, three times a day, and that will strengthen somewhat the pelvic girdle to the point that it will be strong enough to be able to take the stone. So why would she want the Yoni stone? She's in her late 70s and sex is not a big part of their relationship anymore. She was incontinent. So when you strengthen the pelvic girdle, you automatically strengthen the urethral muscle, you strengthen the anal muscle, you strengthen that whole area. Muscle knows no age. And I've had ladies come to me and say, I had a prolapse. What's a prolapse? That's when the uterus drops right down to the opening of the vagina. You can imagine how uncomfortable that is. And these ladies, both of them had surgery where the doctor said he could sew it up, but he had to put mesh in there. Now the mesh didn't work. So now they've got a prolapse with mesh until they wait until there's a vacancy in the hospital to have the whole uterus taken out. And then they heard this lecture, they said, if only we'd known. So why does the doctor use mesh? It's not his fault. Because the muscles have no tone. He can't sew them up because there's no tone in them. It's our responsibility to keep our body fit, strong, well nourished. So that if a problem arises, but by the way, I'd like to suggest if your body's fit, strong and malnourished, you probably won't even have a prolapse. But then some women have had a prolapse because when they gave birth, it didn't go quite right and the doctor did the best he could. But you see, we're fighting gravity here. And strength comes by fighting gravity. And it's also important for women to squat. Can you squat? Every day. We should squat. My husband can even squat now. Now, he doesn't have a pelvic girdle like ladies do, but he's so excited that he can squat. Yes?
What are the primary causes of bad muscle tone?
Primary causes of bad muscle tone is basically a violation of the laws of health, but the cells aren't nourished, the cells aren't well watered, the cells aren't well rested, but the muscle cells are not used.
But in that particular area, I mean, it's just enough to walk then and get that kind of exercise. Or is it giving birth?
Well, not many people walk. Not many people exercise. And you can't blame birth because I've had six. You see, it's not birth. Women's body was made to birth. Yeah.
Would the squats also help men who are urinating very often during the night?
Yeah, it can help a little bit. But prostate problems, that is one area where the yam cream can help. Yeah. My daughter Emma gave birth to twins 17 years ago and both twins were about 6 pounds. So that's a lot. She said that her stomach came out to her middle knuckle. That's a long way. And after she gave birth, if she coughed or sneezed or laughed, she'd lose a little urine. And she just thought, this is something that I have to live with because, you know, the pressure of the babies. And then she heard about the Yoni stones, so she ordered them. She used them, and after 3 months she could laugh. She could cough, she could sneeze, and she would not lose urine. She strengthened her pelvic girdle. Women that squat a lot have a much stronger pelvic girdle. I can squat easily because when I was pregnant with my last baby, he's 33 now, I read a book called Active Birth by Janet Belaskis and she advocated squatting. So I squatted 10 minutes every day to get used to squatting. And when William was born, the whole baby flew out with one push with the bag intact. Oh, that squatting's powerful. That'd catch him. And then I continued to squat because it was now a comfortable position. And you look in countries where women do a lot of squatting, they don't have near the prolapse problem. So it's just strengthening those muscles. It's using those muscles. Rebounding's really good for them on the rebounder. And strengthen your core. Strengthen your core from the outside. Look at your Pilates type exercises. They all strengthen the core. Remember, strengthening the core helps our spine. We have so much to give people, don't we, with this information? So much to give. Because God desires that we all prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. So let me say a word of prayer to finish our morning session. Father in heaven, thank you so much for what you've given us today. Thank you so much for this body, which is fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are these works that my soul knoweth right well. Father, give us all understanding, give us all retention, and show us where you would have each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.